Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
So I hope you guys had a great, great Christmas, and I hope you got, like, I noticed some of you guys are looking real good. You know, you got your Christmas day, you know, new clothes on, and so that's pretty great. My wife got me this shirt. I think it's a boy's small, right? So it's like, honey, I don't know, you know. But so I hope you got some cool stuff for the Christmas holidays. And I'm going to share with you by far my favorite gift of the Christmas season. So my oldest daughter, Cassie, she got me this in my stocking. Punch today in the face. Come on, isn't that, that's amazing, man. This is going on my desk. Punch today in the face. And if you didn't like that, you are not going to like today's message, okay? Because that's my appeal and my encouragement to you this morning. I pray as we go into 2018, you're like, man, I'm going to punch this year in the face in Jesus' name. And I hope to prove to you that that's God's will for your life, and that's how we're going to attack the season. And so, because like something about New Year's that it just as image bearers of God, man, we go in and we're like, there's all this hope inside of us. That man, tomorrow can be better than it was yesterday. And for some of us, man, we're hoping and believing I'm going to be healthier in 2018. And others, man, we're going to be wealthier in 2018. And some, man, you just want to be happier in 2018. And I pray all those things come to pass in your life. I really do. But to do that, it would fall short of God's plan for your life. Because as your pastor, as your friend, my hope for you in 2018 is that you would be significant, you know, like, because significance is different than success. And I always make the statement, success is not that hard, you know, just a little blood, sweat, and tears, buy a few, you know, books, and you can get there. But significance is unbelievably powerful because it's lasting. Success is fleeting. It comes in a day and it's gone the next. I don't know how many of you guys heard this. So I was on Fox and Friends yesterday. I got my phone was blowing up. So for the record, I feel like I need to preface this because where I'm saying this. So if CNN asked me to come on TV, I'm going to go there too. Okay? Are we good? Yeah. It's safe? Okay, great. Great. So, but it was funny, like just this example of things just fleeting, you know, it was like I'd never been on live TV like that before other than playing hockey, you know, and so we're going on and it's like all this kind of waiting around and suddenly you're on and then they tell me, you got 3 minutes to get your skates on and we're going live on TV. And so they had this little outdoor arena at the Fox studios I'm out there, and those of you that don't know me, I've had 5 back surgeries. I have metal rods that go from here down to my waist, and so I can barely put my socks on now. And so despite the fact I played pro hockey for 14 years, I couldn't tie my skates. And so I was like, oh my gosh, they're going, we're on in 3 minutes. And I'm like, oh Jesus, please, you know, let me get these skates done up, you know. And I couldn't find the eye hole for the laces. And I'm like, Lord. And so, but by God's grace, we did it. And then we're like, 3, 2, 1, and we're live. And they had like the producers and these cameras are floating around and we're outside and there's this crowd had gathered. And so we're kind of, and then all of a sudden there's all this energy. Things are happening and going and on TV and all that. And then it ended. And everyone just left. It was like the people from outside left. And suddenly, as God is my witness, I'm standing out in the snow by myself. And I'm like, what in the world? And so I just picked up my hockey gear and kind of walked back to 414, these offices, like a loser, you know? I was like, and so it's kind of like, that's kind of what success is like, man. It's just like all this energy, and then boom, it goes away, and it's like, what happened? But significance, the Apostle Paul is going to say this, what we do for the king and the kingdom, there's an eternal weight of glory. In other words, we can enjoy the fruits of our kingdom labors together for eternity. And so here's what I wanted to do. I'm going to ask our team. They're going to pass out for you a mustard seed. All right? And so that's what we're going to talk about. That's why I thought it was so cool that Jean actually chose that song about the seed today. Is she had no idea what I was preaching about, but I really feel like God has got a word for you. This morning on just the importance of a seed. And so if I can summarize, please don't eat the seed, all right? And if you get pulled over by a cop, they're going to have questions for you about what this is, okay? But here's kind of the big idea. As you look at how small this is this morning, I hope you're encouraged, because here's kind of the nuts and bolts of what we're going to say. If you have a seed, you have all you need to do all God's called you to do. And so that's going to kind of be our big idea, because you know what? Significance, like a kingdom impact, it always starts small, but it grows incredibly big. Like, you take Jesus, our Savior and Lord, he was a simple carpenter's son from a little hick town called Nazareth. He never traveled more than a 30-mile radius outside of his hometown. And yet this man goes into the ground. On the third day, he raises again, and that small seed of his life has been sprouting forth to today. We have 2.2 billion Christ followers on the planet. See, because small things can grow into something significant. And God has a seed of greatness for your life. I believe it in 2018. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. I'm going to give you 3 points. And once again, Terry's not here, so I did, you know, I don't feel like I need to lay it out for you. But Lord, I pray that you give us grace this morning in Jesus' name. And first thing I want to talk to you about is this, is seeds of greatness are divinely powerful. Seeds of greatness are divinely powerful. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 26. It says, and he said, meaning Jesus, he says that the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He doesn't know how. He says this, but the earth produces all by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain of the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And so here's my first big idea for you. It's like the kingdom seeds. There's certain things that God gives to our life that they work all by themselves. Like, you don't understand what a gift we have. So here's what I promise you is going to happen as we're on New Year's Eve here tonight. You are going to be, if you flick on the TV today, you are going to be inundated with infomercials about how you're going to get ripped abs in 2018. And all you need is the abdominizer, right? You just stick that thing on there and electrodes make you do that. You can eat pizza and pie all you want and you're going to get ripped, right? Or my favorite is the ab rocker. Rock, rock, rock your way to stone cold abs, right? And we all know that those people, like those models, have not eaten a carbohydrate in a year, right? We know that. And so I like to go to the vitamin shop. That's kind of where I go and get like protein powder and that kind of stuff. But I always walk in and they're always incredibly polite to me, because they're like, sir, could we help you find something? And I always reply to them, yes, you can. I'm looking for that pill that I can take that I never have to work out, but I'll get rock hard abs and big biceps, all right? And they're like, well, sir, we can't help you. Sometimes they're like, oh, I got just the thing for you, right? It's another crock. But there are certain seeds of the kingdom of God that if we'll apply them to our life, it's not magic, but it is divine. God gives us tools to pull from the heavenlies, man, these divine things that can help transform our lives. Like, the kingdom of God is not as much about willpower as it is the spiritual power that God gives to transform us from the inside out. And so I don't want you to scoff at simple things. Because there's a guy, Naaman, if you read about him in your Old Testament, Naaman was a guy who had leprosy. And so he was this man, leprous thing. And so what happened was he heard that there was a prophet in Israel, Elisha. And so Elisha told Naaman, here, you want to be well? Go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman became irate, because doing something so simple and so stupid is beneath me as a general. Forget that. And finally the servant's like, hey man, it's really simple and really easy. Just give it a try. And brother dips in there, and that brother got healed and he got well. And in the same way, that's what God wants to do. He gives us simple divine seeds that can transform us and make us well. So for example, here's a simple one, prayer. And for the record, every Sunday, I'll probably have the same sermon. Read your Bible and pray, okay? And here's the prayer part, is that prayer is this divine thing that changes us, and we don't even have to do anything. You just got to show up. So for example, have you ever hung around with somebody and then you hang around with them, and next thing you know, you get their mannerisms, and you're doing, like, where did that come from? Like, I remember I've been working with the New York Jets for about eight seasons now. And from the very first season that I got there, all those guys in the locker room are bro, bro, Next thing you know, I'm broing my wife. Hey, bro, I'm broing everybody, you know, highly inappropriate. Well, I realized this year that I've been doing it wrong. It's bruh. So I'm working on it now, right? I got that part down. But I didn't even try to get that, and just by hanging around with these men, it got on me and in me. And as we pray, we stand in the presence of the divine. We stand in the presence of God. Some of God gets on us and in us, and we don't even have to do anything, but just show up. And so I want to encourage you. It's simple, but it's powerful. Here's another one. This is going to sound self-serving. The church. Here's what will happen is we have a pastor in New Orleans. In our pastor, he'll walk the streets of New Orleans. I don't know if you guys know, it's kind of like voodoo-y, superstitious-y, a lot of that stuff, a lot of psychic. You know, we got a psychic place right up at the corner, I think. Don't you always ask the same question? I'm like, say, man, if you can read the future, why aren't you winning the Mega Ball and you're in that little, small little place, right? And so, but our pastor will go the streets and he'll get somebody and, Tim, I'm going to use you, man. And he'll look, he's like, she's like, young man, I'm going to tell you your future. He says, all right, now tell me the five closest relationships you have in your life, right? And he tells him the five friends. He goes, show me your friends and I'll show you your future, right? And so, and that's the reality. That the scripture is pretty clear that bad company corrupts good manners. And so in other words, if you hang around with shady folks, some of that shadiness is going to get on you and in you. But the reverse works as well. As you add other people that are passionate for Jesus Christ, some of that passion, that zeal, that fire will jump on you. And so it's really some of the greatest things that you could do, like something so simple. Add a Christian friend, a passionate follower of Christ, and get them in your orbit. Get them in your world, man. And that's why we push connect groups and stuff so much, because there's a synergy and an energy that happens as we gather together. And it's happening this morning. You braved the cold and you got here, and God's going to impart something into your life this morning, and it happens by itself. Here's the one I want to dial in is the Word of God. And so Hebrews 4:12 is going to say this, that the Word of God, it's living and it's active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so it lets us know there's something divine as we access the Word of God. It says it's the word for living. It's the word zeo. And it's this idea of it's something it's alive. And then also it's active. It's the word energes. It's energized. And so there's something supernatural that takes place as you begin to feed on the Word of God. If you're familiar with the Talmud, it's a Jewish commentary kind of on the Old Testament. And so what will happen is a lot of the Jewish rabbis, they think this, that every blade of grass, that there's an angel assigned to it, and it's to whisper over the grass, grow, grow. And do you know, as you put the word of, you know that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. And every time you feast on the scriptures, that this Holy Spirit whispers, grow, grow. And transformation begins to take place in your life. Romans 12:2 would say it this way, that we have our minds renewed, transformed by the Word of God. Here's what's amazing, is I love when I see science line up with the Word of God. Have you ever seen this before? Like, they did something, they had a piece in the New York Times, and they had this groundbreaking new science, that if you'll take one day off a week, you'll be healthier, happier, and wiser. Like, dang, I've heard of that somewhere before, right? They said this. They did a 10-year study at Notre Dame University, and they found out that if you gave a portion of your income away on a regular basis, you'll be healthier, happier, and wealthier in doing that. I'm like, man, I've heard that somewhere before. And so catch this. There's a book. It's called How God Changes Your Brain. It's by Dr. Andrew Newberg, and he's a neuroscientist. In years of study, here's what they found out. If you'll take 12 minutes a day for 8 weeks, be it in the Word of God and in prayer, 12 minutes for 8 weeks, your brain is transformed. It's reshaped, and you can see it in a brain scan. And so it's called the neuroplasticity of your brain, and it actually is reshaped and remolded as you do that. And so how about after 21 days, things that are difficult, if you do it for 21 days, you get neurological pathways, and it becomes easy, it becomes second nature. So I remember late in my career, I had injured my wrist, I had wrist surgery, and so I could no longer do bench press to train, so I had to do dumbbells. And so you had to do them, you know, each individually. And then I came back the next season, and I don't know if you know much about hockey, you know, fighting. We fight a lot. Sorry, God says it's better to give than to receive. And so, but good fighters could use both hands. I was not a good fighter, right? And so I could only fight with one hand. But after a summer of just working out dumbbells, neurological pathways, unbeknownst to me, we dropped the gloves, and I'm fighting this guy. And next thing you know, I just switched hands, and I'm like, this is fantastic. I'm like beating this guy. I'm like, how did that happen? And no one was more surprised than me. And it would happen just from doing it like routine over and over, 21 days. And in the same way, you know what they said this, that if you'll take those 12 minutes a day, after 63 days, your brain's rewired and it becomes a core belief, right? And so this is how we're transformed by the word of God. Do you guys know this? How many of you would just be honest enough this morning to say there's certain areas of your life where you feel trapped? It's what the Bible would call a stronghold. Like, I know for me, early on in my Christian life, I was like, I would go out drinking on the weekends, chase women, and I had the worst mouth. Like, you know how they say curse like a sailor? Please. I mean, I'm like the Shakespeare of curse words, right? I could just string them together, and that was my lot, and I would feel horrible, and I'd go before the Lord in prayer, God, I'll never do that again. Next weekend, same thing. This time I mean it, God, I promise, I'll never, next weekend, same thing. Does that resonate with anybody? That's what they call a stronghold in your life. But what began to happen is, and I know people that have known me long enough, Kelly, you know this one, I promised the Lord, I was like, Lord, I'm going to read one chapter a day for the rest of my life. And so I would go home, some nights I'd come home intoxicated. I don't recommend reading the Bible while under the influence of alcohol. But I was convicted to do that. And you know what happened? As that began to go inside of me, suddenly those desires and those things that had hold of me, somehow the Lord would make a way for me to escape. It lost its hold on me. And so here's, how many saw the Shawshank Redemption? Many, some of you young people are like, what is the Shawshank you speak? Just Google it, okay? It's not like the Trinity of Guy movies, but it's an honorable mention, all right? It's like a good one. And so Shawshank Redemption, if you remember, Andy Dufresne, played by Timothy Robbins, he was in prison. He was incarcerated. And what happened is he got a rock hammer. Do you remember this? Little tiny hammer. And over 19 years, he would chisel away until he created a hole and found a way of escape. Do you remember where he hid that hammer that set him free? In the Bible, in the Word of God. And that's our story, that God makes a way. As you put the Word inside of you, the Holy Spirit chisels, and he chisels. How many have ever heard this, that sometimes we're held captive by a snare of the devil? It's kind of like it's there in the Bible, 2 Timothy 2, it talks about it. And sometimes, man, things just grab us and we can't get free from it. So I know in my own life, and I'm sure many of you, somebody, there's a parent spoke something over your life, and the enemy's used that to grab a hold of you, and something you've never been able to break free from. You've believed a lie from a coach, from a boss, from an in-law, from somebody, and that thing has held you captive. It's a snare. Do you know, how many saw The Greatest Show on Earth? Did anybody see that one yet, The Ringling? A few guys, any good? It's okay? All right, cool. You know Justin Paul, he wrote the musical score. He was he's a member here at the Every Nation New York, so kind of cool. But here's what's amazing about this. So the circus, I think this was the last year for Ringling Brothers, but if you guys remember, they'll have these massive elephants. They can lift 1,100 pounds with their, what do they call it, tusk or whatever. So they can do powerful animals, but do you know that they're tied and held captive by a small rope? They could snap it in an instant if they wanted to. Here's what happens. When they're a young elephant, they chain them with these thick chains. And so they try to get free and they can't. And so they have such great memories that they remember, I can't get free from that. And so for the rest of their life, it just takes a little string to hold them captive. And for many of you, you're held captive by some stupid lie that the enemy spoke to you years ago. But the Word of God, it's the light, and it sheds light on the lie that you believe. And suddenly you can get free from something that's held you captive by the Word of God. Here's number two, guys. Seeds of greatness must die in order to produce. And so if you look at this little seed, isn't this amazing? This little thing has the potential, when a mustard seed grows into a tree, it's 10 to 12 feet high. And so it's this all this potential inside of it. But if it doesn't go into the ground, it's useless. And so John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus says this, Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat or a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And so here's a, how many do we have guys that are gym people, guys and gals that go to the gym? You know, I know this. Tuesday, the gym is going to be slammed, right? There's going to be all kinds of people with their new Under Armour gear, and they're going to have the heart monitor and all this kind of stuff, and they are not going to know what they're doing in there. And so I know, like, every year we get in there. One year I was on the Smith machine, and I'm about ready to kind of do some reps, and a girl comes over, and she grabs the plate off of my bar and goes, puts it on hers like that. I'm like, miss, I think I need that, you know? And another dude, like people, you could tell they don't know how to use the machines. And so I see one guy working this one thing. I'm like, bro, that's a drinking fountain, okay? You know, it's like just confusion all the way around. But I know if I'm there for, if I just stay there, stay cool for 4 to 6 weeks, the herd will be thinned out, and it'll be back to kind of business as usual. And you know why? Because there's certain people that they refuse to embrace pain, and then they have no ability to produce. But if you can embrace the pain, you will produce great fruit in your life. If a seed doesn't go into the ground, you got to be willing to die to certain things in your life if life is going to spring forth from it. And so it feels really counterintuitive, doesn't it? You know, it says like, oh, so to find life, you got to lose it. You want to be great, then be the least. Right? And on, it feels so wrong. And what'll happen so many times is you'll fear, like, I promise you this, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. Oh, you want to get free from this? You need to forgive your mother. You need to forgive your father. And everything inside you will scream, no, that cannot be right. And yet, we know this, that there's a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it leads to death. And God's wanting to set you free. You die, but resurrection life comes through that death, doesn't it? How about this? You ever pay attention to Hollywood? Every single movie, take every Avenger movie, Marvel comic, isn't it the same idea that sacrifice always springs into victory and newness of life? So you get Steve Rogers. He doesn't become Captain America until he jumps on a grenade to save his platoon. We get Thor, but he has to learn to suffer and give his life for others. But once he does, oh, the power of Thor, right, comes to him. How many have seen the Transformers movies? Good. Well, how many would agree they need to go home and be with the Lord, right? Yeah, like enough. But I remember one of them. I don't even know which one it was, but Sir Anthony Hopkins is kind of narrating it. And I'm like, I could read that dude. I just listened to him read the phone book, and I'd be like, wow, that's awesome. He's just so amazing. And he says this, without sacrifice, there can be no victory, right? And you're just like, oh, it's awesome. And it's true. Without sacrifice, listen, you want to have a great marriage? Without sacrifice, there can be no victory. You want to be a great dad, a great mom? Without sacrifice, there can be no victory. You fill in the blank, but greatness, it comes out of laying down our life. Our scriptures would say this in Luke 9. It would say that you're to take up your cross daily and follow Christ. And so we're going to do a little movie trivia. I need some interaction. So how many of you saw that awful series, the Twilight series, with the werewolves and the vampire? Like, I had teenage daughters. I was asking Jesus to kill me as I was watching those things, you know. But to be a great dad, sacrifice, right? And so we did that thing. Did you ever notice now how all of a sudden, like, werewolves and vampires are always, like, really good-looking, sexy people all of a sudden? Like, back when I was young, they were ugly and scary, and now they're, like, all buffed up and, you know, that type of thing. And how do you kill a werewolf? Silver bullet, thank you. I did it with the Jets, and one guy's like, stake in the heart. I'm like, no, dummy, that's a vampire, you know? But we ward off vampires, what, with the cross. But I got news for you this morning. The cross ain't for vampires. It's for you. It's for me. That daily there's this something inside of us. The Bible would call it the flesh. And it rebels against what God is asking of us. And God says, that thing has to die every day. And so our mindset maybe is not punch today in the face. Maybe it's this, punch the flesh in the face. Every day, that's your mindset, that you're going to fight. I'm going to crucify this thing, and I'm going to align my life with the Word of God. And as you do that, your life becomes powerful. Here's something interesting. We make 35,000 decisions per day. For the record, we make 227 just on food alone. So I know you guys are wrestling Chipotle or Shake Shack, all right? But Josh says Chipotle. I know that, bro. So anyways, so there, we make 35,000 decisions. There's the greatest decision you can make. Make decisions against yourself for yourself. Isn't that true? Like, listen, the reality is, and I've said this time and time again, no one's lied to you more than you. And nobody's hurt you more than you. And so what we need to do is we need to make decisions against ourselves for ourselves and align our life with the Word of God. Here's a point number three is this. A single seed is all you need. Did you see how I did that, Tim? I made it rhyme and yeah. So a single seed is all you need. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, it says this, that if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Like, I don't know if you just saw that, but Jesus just said this little thing right here. If you have faith this size, you have all you need to do all God's called you to do. Nothing will be impossible to you. And so here's the thing, as I like to look at it this way, if you can believe Genesis 1:1, you have the seed of faith. Because it says this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if you can believe that, then all things are possible to you. You have this mustard seed of faith. But here's what I see more, the problem is not having enough faith. Here's my problem that I see is, you have all you need to do all God's called you to do. My question is, has God called you to do that? See, because a lot of times people think they hear from God and it's craziness. And so I want to just put a little caution that man, I believe you could hear from God, but I also believe you can hear from other things, and you got to be aware for that. So, God bless you. So how about this? Back in 1912, there was a guy, Franz Reich, over in Paris, France. And so he's there. He's a French tailor, and he actually created a parachute suit that he created and he made. I don't know how he did this, but he got permission from the French authorities to climb to the top of the Eiffel Tower. All the crowds were gathered around to see this great parachute suit that this man made. Brother jumped, and he went crashing down to his death. He left a 6-inch indentation in the ground. He hit so hard. Can you please echo with me? Fool. Dummy. And so a lot of times, see, he didn't test it first. Like, test it on a dummy first. And then try and figure it out, but he didn't do that. And so a lot of times, man, we need to, and I'm not making this up, 1 John chapter 4 says this, test the spirits to see whether they're from God or not. So that's why God gives us the scriptures. He gives us godly counsel. Like if I say, Tim, man, I think God told me this, and Tim's like, bro, you're a fool. I'm like, I need to kind of rethink that then, all right? And so I want to encourage you. And then here's the last thing. As we go into 2018, I pray that you wouldn't allow fear to paralyze your faith. Have you ever been there where it's just like, man, I think I want to, and you just kind of like, you get paralyzed and you don't make any decisions, and you're just stagnant. And I don't want you to be in that place. So another little trivia for you. Do you know the African impala that, like Lawrence, you think you got hops? Bro, 10 feet high, the impala can jump. It can jump 10 feet high, 30 feet wide. But here's what's crazy is if you go to a zoo, they're actually kept in, they're penned in by a 3-foot wall. Isn't that weird? Here's the thing about the impala. They learn this, that if impala can't see where it's going to land, it won't jump. And by the very definition of faith means you don't know where you're landing. You believe you know where you're landing, but you don't know for sure. And so I don't want you to be paralyzed. Take that leap of faith. Take that jump. First, verify with the Word of God and others, then jump. Jump. Take a step in 2018. I'm not much of a Broadway guy, but we saw Lion King like years ago, and I remember I couldn't believe God spoke to me in Lion King. Like, I don't know if you remember the one scene where like Mufasa, he sees his dad's reflection, and his father tells him, he says, "You've forgotten me." He's like, "No, Dad, I could never forget you." He says, "No, you've forgotten who you are, and therefore you've forgotten me." He says this, "You're more than you've become." And I heard that. I was like, oh my gosh. And here's what I think, what God spoke to me. That, man, see, if you forget who God is, then you'll forget who you are in Christ, and then suddenly you'll be filled with self-doubt. But as you keep God, we just sang about it, be the center of my life, as he's central, his greatness, who he is, then suddenly strength is breathed into our life. And I'm going to leave you with this last little thing as you go into 2018. I think this will help you. If you got a pen or tweet or whatever you do, get this one down. In 2018, here's what I want you to do. Number one, do what's necessary. Do what's necessary. But then number two, do what's possible. And through that, you'll walk in a miracle. Do what's necessary, then do what's possible. And you keep doing that, you'll begin to walk in a miracle, all right? And so I'm going to ask Pastor Kaz to come. I'm going to pray over us, and then Pastor Kaz is going to bring our announcements. And then I know Gene's got a great song for us in our offertory. So Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for this time. I thank you as we jump into 2018. God, I just pray, God, that these areas of faith, these seeds that have been planted in our heart. Lord, I thank you what Gene said, that some of us, it's been a time of planting. Some of us, it's been a time of just watering. But I pray for many of us, Lord, this would be a season of reaping. God, a season of reaping that hopes and dreams would come to fruition in 2018. So we thank you and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.